Hello, dear ones. Welcome to worship today. It is the third Sunday of Advent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It is the Sunday of Advent that we celebrate the theme of joy and what that means in our lives. Please say the call to worship with me. Joy is coming. Joy is here. Joy will come again. Come to the manger. Come, let us adore him. Come and worship. Joy is coming. Joy is here. Joy will come again. And let us come to the Advent wreath. We light these candles each week as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. Prepare the way of the Lord. We light this third candle in joy. The joy that we have in Jesus our Saviour. Prepare then the way of the Lord. Let's pray this responsive prayer. When we feel like nothing can go right, come to us, Emmanuel. Fill us with your hope. When we feel unsettled, come to us, Emmanuel. Fill us with your peace. When we are lonely or misunderstood, come to us, Emmanuel. Fill us with your joy. When darkness overwhelms our souls, come to us, Emmanuel. Fill us with your love. Amen. Acknowledging our humanness, our propensity for waywardness, come with me to the throne of grace and pray the prayer of confession. Merciful God, always with us, always coming, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by all the busyness of this season. Forgive us, God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of a child born for us, now in the quiet of our hearts, and in his name, we ask you to make us ready for his coming. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news of our gospel. God hears the cries of the brokenhearted and renews the strength of the people who trust in his mercy. In Jesus Christ, God has taken us by the hand, forgiving our sins and lifting us to new life. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven, so be at peace. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. And this reading is a vision of God's restoration of Israel and that God's joy will have tangible outcomes for his people. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment, and he has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As many of you know, I have a lot of time for the work of Kate Bowler. Kate is a professor who teaches at Duke Divinity School, and I have been following her Advent devotional material as we make our way through this season of Advent this year. In the course of that, I came across this quote for this third week of Advent. She writes that Advent anticipates God turning the world upside down, or perhaps right side up, restoring everything and everyone to God's self. It's a great quote. On the surface, Advent might look like a great time of growing excitement as we make our way to Christmas and to all of the wonderful things that can come with our Christmas celebrations. But if you have the courage to look a little more closely and a little more honestly, you do start to get a sense of the topsy-turviness that is also a very real part of Advent. As we await one of the greatest celebrations in the entire church year, the celebration of the day that God actually came to live in human flesh in this world with us, there is certainly growing excitement and anticipation. But that's not all that there is. We're also in the time of year when the days are growing shorter and shorter, which means that the darkness seems to be increasing every day, both literally and at times metaphorically as well. And for some people, far from being the happiest time of year, this can actually be a really difficult time, when all that is not happy in our lives seems to stand in such stark contrast to the bright lights, the happy songs, and the idyllic images of this season. Sometimes our Christmas spirit is pretty elusive, simply because the ideal Christmas seems so far from our day-to-day reality. Well, Zephaniah and the people he spoke this prophecy to would have known that feeling well. Before we get to our reading for today, here's what you need to know about Zephaniah. He was a prophet who lived and prophesied during the reign of Judah's last good king, King Josiah. We think that the 9 oracles he delivered came over a span of time, and in that time, the circumstances of the nation of Judah changed dramatically. The first 8 of his 9 oracles are nothing like this one. They're all dire. they foretell the judgment that was about to come to a nation who had abandoned their God. They're dark. They speak of judgment and punishment and destruction to come. Frankly, those first eight oracles are really hard reading. But as difficult as they are, if you read them first and then come to this final oracle of blessing and salvation that we've heard today, you do get a vivid picture that is easy to miss if you skip the hard stuff and head straight to the beautiful promises in this passage. As we all know, the blessings that come in life actually seem more precious when they come in the midst of struggle, don't they? On a good day, life being normal and pleasant doesn't really strike us as a particular gift. But after a day when it feels as if the world has fallen apart, or at least your part of it has, being able to just savor the simple pleasures of an ordinary day is an absolute blessing. So as lovely as this final oracle from Zephaniah is on its own, it shines even brighter coming on the heels of those eight hard prophecies of judgment. It's a relief. It's the sun beginning to shine after a long stream of stormy days. It is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now, those first eight prophecies were likely spoken to the people of Judah while they were still living in their land, but seemingly living under the threat of several foreign powers. Dark days were certainly coming for them. But this reading is actually the promise that came for the end of that time, the promise of restoration that was about to come. It was probably delivered after the destruction of Judah, when people were living in exile, in captivity in Babylon. So having lost their land, their homes, and their freedom, God gave them these words of hope and promise. Into that dark time, the light of God's saving promises shined. As Kate Bowler describes, it's as if God was turning everything upside down, or rather right side up. With this word, the prophet urges us not to be afraid, but instead says that we will be able to sing and rejoice, for God will turn away all of our enemies, everyone who oppresses us. He'll save us, bring us home, and restore our lives once again. Well, at the heart of this word of hope lies the promise that is actually at the center of our faith. We don't worship a God who is distant and removed from us, who's kind of watching us from afar. No, we worship a God who has promised to come and be here with us. That promise is actually repeated twice in these seven verses. Verse 15, "The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more." And then again in verse 17, "The Lord God is in your midst." Not just close, but right here amongst us, in our midst. Like those blessings of normal days that come when times are good, this promise that our God would and did come to be right here in our midst, it's kind of easy for us to gloss over. Oh, yeah, Emmanuel, God with us. We get it. We hear it every year. We've got that. But that promise is astounding if you really stop to think about it. God, Almighty God, the one who wields power greater than any other power in the heavenly or earthly realm. This God, our God, chose to lay all that power down and came here to earth as a vulnerable, helpless, newborn baby to truly be here with us. He was in the midst of all of our humanness, in the midst of all of the world's brokenness, and in the midst of the darkness that threatens. in the midst of all of those things that are so contrary to the life God designed us for. When Jesus was born, God fulfilled that promise that he made through Zephaniah and the other prophets, to be here with us in our midst. It's a truly crazy thought. That's why so many people just can't bring themselves to believe it, because it makes no sense. But then, isn't that the way of love? Rationally, love makes no sense. It makes us do things that seem completely crazy. It turns our lives upside down. Whether that love comes for a partner that we share and walk through life with, or through a family who loved you and raised you to become the person you became, or through a little child, a baby born for you to raise and love and just delight in. All of that love does turn our lives upside down. Or right side up, doesn't it? And all of those human experiences of love are what remind us that, as crazy as it may seem, God really did come to be here with us in our midst. God really was born in that tiny baby in a stable somewhere in ancient Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And God really did take his first steps when that little boy learned to walk. It's crazy. It's love. And it's true. And when we really stop to think about that, the promise that God came when Jesus was born, that God lived here in our midst for a time, and that God has promised since to never ever leave or forsake us, that promise is really the source of our deepest joy, a joy that can come even in the midst of life's sorrows, perhaps especially in the midst of life's sorrows. God is here with us, with you, whatever you're facing today. So stop, take that in, and let the joy of that reality come. Because if you can really start to get your heart and your mind around it, joy will come. And like Zechariah last week, we'll find ourselves singing at the prospect. Speaking of singing, we heard about that in our reading today too. Did you catch it? The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. It turns out that we aren't the only ones singing for joy at this promise that in Christ, God is with us. Apparently, the prospect of being with us makes God sing for joy as well. So as delighted as you might be with the promise that God is in our midst, he is even more thrilled with the idea of being with you. God is like the father in my very, very favorite of Jesus' parables, the story of the prodigal son. Remember, in that story, the father waits patiently in deep love for his wayward son to decide to come home. And when that father glimpses his son coming over the hill in the distance, he throws all decorum and dignity aside, and he gets up and runs. He can't sit and wait for his son to come to him. So he runs and he throws his arms around his lovely boy, kisses him and wraps him in his love. His son is home, home at last. Friends, in Christ, God didn't wait for us to come back home to him. In Christ, God has come running. He's closed the distance between us and he is wrapping us in his love. And there, right there, friends, that is the source of our deepest joy. In the strange, upside-down, topsy-turviness of Advent, we celebrate with joy because our all-powerful God has closed the distance and come here in our midst as a helpless newborn baby to welcome us home and to wrap us in his love.
Let us pray. Compassionate Holy One, this is a season of the year which can be a very mixed blessing. It seems to be a time of extremes, joy, anticipation, hope, deep sadness, despair, and a wrestling with you as we come to terms with the very challenging world events and personal events. We are so thankful that you continue always to walk with each of us in reassurance and in peace. Open our hearts to your presence in our daily lives, that we may be filled with your loving energy in a way that is able to share that love with folk both near and far. We pray that you are with the folk presently living in Syria, that peace and goodwill fill everyone there, particularly those searching for loved ones in the prisons there. We pray for all people who are living with anguish in this world, that they receive your peace and new hope. For those folk who are struggling with loneliness, may they seek little spots of joy, which are always present. These spots of joy can simply be wildlife frolicking, children laughing as they play, adults walking where they can hear birdsong, listening to concerts, looking for what is alive and for which we have gratitude. We pray that leaders of our church, our communities that we live in, our country,
and the world take the time to pause and pay attention to the needs of the people they serve, and consequently to make decisions that benefit the most people. And we ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, in this season that is so much about giving, let us join together now to dedicate all of the gifts that have been given to God's mission in the world. Let's give our giving meaning. As we prepare, O God, for the festival of Christ's birth, help us to give in expectation of his return. May our gifts be used to prepare the world for Christ's coming, when all creation shall sing your praise. Amen. Friends, let me remind you of how we will celebrate Christmas Eve here at St. Stephen's. We will have an online service, as we have had for the past, I think, 5 years. And we will also have two in-person services, one at 4 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. on the 24th. So we hope that you will be able to participate with us in worship and celebrating Jesus' birth in one or more of those services. Friends, go now and rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be afraid or worried about anything, but in everything, trust God and pray. Bear fruits worthy of repentance, sharing what you have and being gentle with all. And as you go, may you know God rejoicing over you with gladness. May Christ Jesus renew you with his love. And may the Holy Spirit give you peace beyond your understanding to guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.